Certainly thanks to our worship team, Brian and the team, for leading us beautifully in worship this morning. And good morning to you all. So good to see you. Thank you. Amen. Thank you. It's so good to see you. I have missed you, and it's so good to see your faces this morning. And I'm so excited to be back in the house of the Lord and back in this new chapter of my life and our lives as a church congregation. I'm so excited, and it's such a blessing to be able to be here this morning. Well, I don't want to waste any more time. I want to get right into the message today. There's so much that the Lord has given me to share with you over the course of the next 7 weeks as we're going to be launching this new series that the Lord gave me, the Church Growth Toolkit. Can we say that together? The Church Growth Toolkit. So as we journey together, as I said, over these next 7 weeks, this series is going to comprise and it will cover three main areas. There are three main areas that I want us to really focus on over the next 7 weeks. And let me encourage you, if you can, please do bring a notepad and a pen to church. I know that might be new for some of you, but if you can, if you know have a great memory, that's fine. But I really want you to be able to grasp some of the principles, because this is going to be something that we're going to be focusing on. It's going to be the sort of the base in terms of our vision going forward as a church congregation. So I want you to really grasp these main areas. So the first area, as we're talking about church growth, the first area that we're going to be looking in terms of growth is spiritual growth. Can we say that together? Spiritual growth. How many of you want to grow spiritually? Amen. I do. We want to grow spiritually, and that is the will of the Lord for us to grow, to not be stagnant in our faith, but to be continually in a process of sanctification, growing closer to the Lord Jesus Christ. So the first area we're going to be covering is spiritual growth. The second one is numerical growth. Numerical growth. And numerical growth will be in terms of evangelism and winning souls for the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Again, I'm sure all of you here want to see more people come to know Jesus Christ in our community. Plenty more seats in this church for people to come and to join our fellowship. But ultimately, whether they come here or another church, we want to see souls added to the kingdom of God. And third and finally, so spiritual growth, numerical growth, third and finally, we're going to be covering relational growth. Relational growth. And that is in terms of our fellowship as a church. The relationships that we share amongst our church, also our fellow churches in the community, and our community at large. So spiritual growth, numerical growth, and relational growth. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for this wonderful day. And Lord, we come to you now because we need to hear a word from you. We don't need a word from Nathan or anyone else, but we need a word from you. So Lord, would you open our hearts now to receive from you today? Would you build us up, Lord? Build our faith to trust you more and to rely on your holy word. And we pray now for this new sermon series, that Lord, it would really be a blessing to our lives, to inspire, to encourage, and yes, even to challenge us so that we can grow closer to you. Bless us now, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So as Brian mentioned, today, part one of this series, the title is, and the question is, what's in your toolbox, or what's in your toolkit, however you prefer, what's in your toolbox or toolkit? What's in your toolbox? And the text this morning is 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And I'm going to read from verse 1 down to 11. And it reads like this: Brothers and sisters, I could not address you as people who live by the Spirit, but as people who are still worldly, mere infants in Christ. I gave you milk, not solid food, for you were not yet ready for it. Indeed, you are still not ready. You are still worldly. For since there is jealousy and quarreling among you, are you not worldly? Are you not acting like mere humans? For when one says, I follow Paul, and another says, I follow Apollos, are you not mere human beings? What after all is Apollos, and what is Paul? Only servants through whom you came to believe, as the Lord has assigned to each his task. I planted, Apollos watered it, but God has been making it grow. So neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. The one who plants and the one who waters have one purpose, and they will each be rewarded according to their own labor. For we are co-workers in God's service. You are God's field, God's building. By the grace God has given me, I laid a foundation, that's Paul speaking, as a wise builder, and someone else is building on it. But each one should build with care. In verse 11, for no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. Amen. I want to read our key verse this morning, verse 7, just one more time. Paul says, so neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. Only God who makes things grow. Church, there's a story of a young man who was raised by a single mother. And the young lad was getting ready to leave home for the very first time and embark on a new chapter of his young life, as he was accepted to play American football on a scholarship program in Texas. And before the young man left home, his mom took him aside. She had some words of instruction for her son. His mom took some time to remind him of some of the core values that were instilled in her son from a little child. I mean, his mom wanted to remind him that he was raised in a Christian home with Christian values. And she wanted to let him know that although you are now leaving home, young man, for the very first time, and although the time has come for you to stand on your own two feet and to make decisions without the oversight and the guidance of a God-fearing mother. And although mom will no longer be there to see his every move when he leaves home, she wanted her son to know that God is watching, that he sees and he knows all that we do, the things that we do in secret, in private, as well as those things that are done out in the open. So the young man, church, set off for Texas. He enrolled on the scholarship program. He then moved into a nice apartment. He began to make some new friends and began to hang out with his teammates. And lo and behold, after a short period of time, the young man began to really, really enjoy himself. He began to stay out late at night and attend parties all night long. indulging in alcohol, getting drunk, having friends over at his flat, multiple women in and out of the house. And before you knew it, the young man was living a life that was diametrically opposed to everything his mum had instilled in his heart. But church, a few months down the line, his mum made her intentions known to her son over the phone that she was about to pay her son a visit. And knowing the type of lifestyle that he was living, the fast lifestyle of his home, he decided to pay for professional cleaners to conduct a thorough and a comprehensive tidy of his flat to ensure that everything was nice and smelling good for his mum's arrival. And church, when his mum arrived at her son's apartment, and as she began to walk around in an almost investigative posture, she began to sniff, just like this. She said, "Son, what is that smell? What is that I smell?" The young man replied, "Oh, Mum, that's just the new air freshener that I got for the flat. Smells nice, don't it?" She said, "Yeah, I smell that, son. Smells great, but there's something else that I smell. What is it that I smell, son?" Son replied, "Oh, yes, that must be the lovely roast chicken that I have in the oven for us to eat. I made it for you to come so that we could eat together." He said, "Yes, son, I smell that too. Smells great, but that's not what I smell. I smell something else." "What is that smell?" she asked her son. The son replied, what is it, Mum? I don't understand. I don't smell it. What is it, Mum? Tell me, what is it?" In church, the mum replied, "The smell that I smell in the atmosphere, it smells like sin. It smells like sin." You see, son, you should know by now that I am a praying woman. You should know by now that through the gift of discernment, the Holy Spirit within me is prompting me that there is something in the atmosphere, something in the environment of this flat that cannot be wiped clean by Mr. Muscle. There's a smell in the atmosphere, church, that cannot be removed by Febreze air freshener. Because, son, you might be able to use carpet cleaner to take care of the wine stains on the carpet floor. You may be able to spray and wipe and wash down and scrub all you like, all the surfaces in the house. But Mr. Muscle is unable to wipe away the stain of sin. Febreze air freshener can make your house smell good, but Febreze air freshener is unable to deal with the stench of sin and iniquity. So, son, I got a question for you. What can wash away your sin? What can make you whole again? It's not Mr. Muscle. It's not Febreze. It's not Dettol. It's not lime scale. It's not detergent. But it's nothing but the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus is able to wash away all of our sins. And church, I want to ask you the question this morning. How do we smell as a local church? How do we smell as members of the body of Christ? How do we smell to our local community? And friends, as we open up the toolkits of our hearts, I want to ask the question today, do we have an array of tools that are productive, that are fit for purpose, fit for spiritual purpose? Or are there tools within our lives, within our hearts, within our church that are contributing to a lack of spiritual growth? Is there some tools that we are using that are not fit for spiritual purpose, that are not fit for relational growth and numerical evangelistic growth? And church, we've heard over recent weeks, haven't we, sermons about various churches in Asia, according to the book of Revelation. And we were able to see how Jesus viewed each church, how he viewed each congregation. And in a real sense, this series, the Church Growth Toolkit, I believe it will inspire us to really do some soul searching as a church. Soul searching in our lives. To ask ourselves the question, how are we doing? Where are we in terms of our mission and our vision? And church, I believe that this is a great opportunity for us to come together and to open the toolkits of our local church and also the toolkits in our individual lives, in our families, and to ask ourselves the question, what tools are productive and what tools are just unfit for purpose? So what's in your toolkit? Are there tools that are stunting our spiritual growth? Could it be that we're in need of a toolbox or toolkit declutter to discard of those tools that are not drawing us closer to Jesus Christ? And church, such was the case for the church in Corinth. And as we peruse the scene of our text this morning, because despite the initial buzz and excitement around this Greek city, as the gospel of Jesus Christ would impact the lives of Gentiles in the region, and Christians began to grow as they accepted the gospel of Jesus Christ, and the church in Corinth were really known for their zeal and for their passion, and also for their gifts, their talents that were in operation in the church. But despite their talent, and despite their gifts, despite the fact that they could speak in tongues and they had spiritual gifts, the Apostle Paul, who was there to start this church under the leadership of God, he received a detailed report that the church in Corinth was lacking in spiritual growth. They were lacking in spiritual maturity. I mean, he would receive updates from the house of Chloe about division amongst the church, factions amongst the congregation, some saying that they were a part of Team Apollos, and you had some saying that they were part of Team Paul. There were also instances of lawsuits amongst the congregation, abuses of spiritual gifts and also the Lord's Supper. And not only that, unfortunately, there were some in Corinth, Christians, who were now beginning to doubt the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And some even began to deny it altogether. And church, the challenge for the Christians in Corinth was, although they had accepted the message of Christ, they were still living in an environment and a society that was plagued with Greek philosophy and immorality that was at odds with the Word of God. And as time transitioned, they allowed the culture of their day to infiltrate the church, causing them to drift further away from God. And I want to pause here for a moment to say that we have to be very careful that we don't take on board and allow everything in our society to infiltrate the church of Jesus Christ. Because the church belongs to Christ. And we are governed as a church by the Word of God. So we have to be mindful. We have to be prayerful and careful not to allow the spirit of this age to try and turn us away from what the Bible stands for. We have to individually assess and collectively assess what is a sure word from God and what is not stable, and what the world may try to say and try to turn us away from biblical principles. So as we individually assess within our hearts if there are tools within our toolbox that are productive or not, let me just share these three brief points with you today that you'll see in your sermon notes. The first thing that I believe Paul wanted the church at Corinth to know, and what's important for us to know if we want to grow in Christ, is number one, we have to check our level of spiritual maturity. Can we say that together? Check your level of spiritual maturity. We see this from verses 1 to 3. Paul says, brothers and sisters, I could not address you as people who live by the Spirit. That really bothers me. This was a church. And Paul is saying, I can't even write to you as people who are led by the Spirit of God. Can't do that. Even though you are Christians, I am unable to share spiritual principles with you right now. Because there is a lack of growth, spiritual maturity. The church at Corinth was still at that elementary stage. They were what Paul describes, they were babes in Christ. Now, there's nothing wrong with being a babe in Christ. That's great. We want to see babes in Christ. We saw today in the graduation, young people, young children, who are at that early stage in their spiritual maturity and development, learning more about Jesus and the Word of God. We love that. We encourage that as a church. But we don't expect, and we really pray, that the children would not stay at the same level of spiritual maturity that they're at right now, at age 10, 11, when they reach 20 and 30 and 40. But our prayer as a church, that they would grow and mature and become closer in their walk with Christ. And that is the goal for every single one of us, not just children. It doesn't really matter about age, because you can be up in age and still be spiritually immature. And at the same time, you can be very young and be mature spiritually. So it's not about age. But we do have to assess within ourselves and check our level of spiritual maturity. He said, I had to feed you milk. I had the joy and the privilege of meeting baby Olivia on Friday. And mommy's here with Olivia. And it was so wonderful. And I had the joy of holding her in my arms. And we prayed together. And as I was praying for her, and praying that one day that she would grow to one day make a decision for herself to accept Jesus Christ as her Lord and Savior. Because yes, Mom believes. Yes, Dad believes. But baby Olivia at one stage in her life needs to grow to make that decision for herself. She will grow not just physically, but we pray that she will also grow spiritually. So Paul was encouraging the church at Corinth that, look, you really need to pay attention What are you laying hold of in the church? What are some of the tools that you are using in the congregation that are causing you to not grow in Christ? Paul says there are reports of jealousy amongst you. There are reports of quarrels and arguments amongst the church. And we have to be very careful, church, that as we check our level of spiritual maturity, how we're growing in Christ, how much time that we're spending reading the Word of God and praying, our devotional life, worship, and surrounding ourselves with people, like-minded people who can build you up in the faith. We have to check that we are growing in Christ. It's not for anyone to come up to you and say, how are you growing spiritually? And although you might have some people who do that. But ultimately, we have to have a responsibility as Christians to check ourselves and assess ourselves and see where we are really at spiritually. But also, I want to encourage you. It's not just a word of warning from Paul, but it's also a word of encouragement. Because even if you assess within your life and you think, well, Nathan, I'm really not growing. I feel that there's been I feel stagnant in my growth in Christ. You know, over the years, maybe over the past few years, I just feel like something's missing and I'm not praying as I used to. I'm not reading the Word as I used to. It's just become more challenging. That's okay, because God understands and He loves us just the same. And it's okay to say, Lord, I don't feel that I'm at that place right now, but my prayer is, would you help me get back on the right track so then I can begin to grow again in my walk with the Lord? So if you're at that place, don't beat yourself up. You know, don't put burden on yourself. It's okay to say, I'm at that place. But now you can say, I'm going to do something about it. And the Holy Spirit and us as a church, we will help you. And it's my job to help you as well, so that we can all get on that place, on that track, that we can be growing spiritually. Number two, time is going. I've got to move on here. Check your perspective of leaders. Paul says there are factions in the church. Apollos, Paul, some saying they're part of Apollos, some saying they're pledging allegiance to Paul. Paul had to remind them, that's not how we do things in the church of Jesus Christ. And I want to encourage you today as a church family that leaders in the church, myself, the deacons, and all of the heads of departments and the various groups in our church, we are just mere servants. And our job is to point people to Jesus Christ. We point people to serve Christ, not us. We are not leaders to be worshipped, but we point people in the direction to worship God. And the challenge for us today, we must be very careful with being drawn to the charisma or the personality traits of leaders, rather than following the Christ-like example that they should set. So check your perspective of leaders. Are you just concerned about who is in the pulpit on Sunday? Or who is leading the various groups? Because if it's just about who's in the pulpit on Sunday, then what happens if, God forbid, I am not here anymore? Doesn't mean that we just down tools and say we no longer want to grow in Christ. But regardless who is teaching the word, our responsibility is still to grow in Christ. So check your perspective of leaders. And third and finally, check your foundation. Check your foundation. Look in verse number 10. Paul says, by the grace of God has given me, I laid a foundation as a wise builder. Someone else now is building on it. But each one should build with care. For no one can lay any foundation other than the one that has already been laid, which is Jesus Christ. That's why the hymn writer put it this way. It's on Christ, the solid rock, that I stand. Do we have a firm foundation that will allow us to be positioned for growth? Because if we do not have, and we're not standing on the firm foundation of Christ, then we will not grow. But we need to have that firm foundation that is built on Jesus Christ, the good news of the gospel, the death, the burial, the resurrection, the ascension, and the soon return of Jesus Christ. That is the foundation for the church. That is the foundation. And we will continue to grow as a church as we build on that very foundation. Amen. Paul wanted them to know growth must be your portion, church. Number one, because you must check your level of spiritual maturity. Number two, check your perspective of leaders. But number three, check your foundation. Assess your foundation. A few weeks ago, I had the privilege to go on holiday to Cornwall. And I decided to take up the task of climbing some very steep cliff at Porthcurno Beach. And as I was making my way up that cliff, the higher that I was going, began to really doubt whether this was a really good idea. I began to gingerly take my time to assess every step. And then I even began to get on my knees and crawl, almost like a baby, making sure that every step that I could feel the rocks and make sure that nothing was moving. And as I made my way up, something really touched me. Because as a grown man, as I was gingerly making my way up this cliff, I saw some young children. I mean real young children. And they were just making their way up the cliff as if this was just a walk in the park. And then I came across a really young child. He couldn't have been more than 3 or 4. And he was making his way up. And I said, no way. There's no way he's making his way up without a guardian. And then lo and behold, I did see his dad come up behind him. But the young child amazed me because he was just walking with such confidence. And then as I made my way up to the top and I was reflecting on this, it's like the Holy Spirit led me to think in this direction. The reason why that young lad could walk up the cliff with such confidence, the reason why he didn't have to worry or be afraid of the height, I don't know if he's ever been at that height before. Maybe it was all new to him. But the reason why he had such confidence, because he knew that his dad was right behind him. And church, I want to encourage you today that despite the challenges that we may face in our lives, and despite the obstacles that we will face as a church moving forward, we do not need to be afraid, because we have a sure foundation. And we have a Father who is right there with us every step of the way. And even if we have to climb to new heights, to a new trajectory, to a new height that we might not have experienced before, and we may look at the level and say, wow, this is new. I don't recognize this level. But I want to encourage you that if God is with us, then who can be against us? And if God is taking us as a church to a new level, then the same God who took us to that new level will be there to support us at that new level. so we don't have to be afraid by what the world may throw in our direction. We don't have to be afraid of what the devil will throw in our direction, because we have a sure foundation. And the mission that God has given us is for us to spread, as we sang earlier, the gospel of Jesus Christ. Yes, there will be challenges, but I believe with all of my heart that we will see spiritual growth, that we will see numerical growth, and yes, we will see relational growth. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you have given us a great vision and mission for the church. Thank you that your church is a glorious church. Your church will never be defeated. Your church is victorious. And your church will continue to grow from victory to victory. And Lord, like the church in Corinth, if there are tools within us, individually and collectively as a church family, if there are tools within our congregation that are not fit for purpose, Father, we pray today, even now, that we would lay them at your feet, that we would discard of them, and we would take up the tools that you have in store for us. Father, we pray that you would grow your church spiritually, relationally, and yes, we pray numerically that you would grow your church for your glory and for your honor. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, friends, before Brian and the team come back, I want to ask you as a congregation to do something for next week, if you're going to be here next week. Next week, we're going to be looking at some of the tools that we need to have and some of the tools that God has given us through his word for us to use in the church and in the world. But I believe, as we shared this morning, there may be some tools and there may be some things that you know within your own life. There may be some things that you maybe have observed in the church over the years. Some tools that you think are not fit for purpose. And what I'm going to do is, next week, we're going to have a waste bin up here. And I'm going to ask you to write down, no names, it's anonymous, just write down some things that you may have observed, some things that maybe you think are not tools that are fit for purpose, whether it be in your own life as a family, and some things that you may have observed as a church family. And I want us to put all of those unfit, unproductive tools, we're going to throw them in the waste bin. And then we're going to pray together as a church family. And then we're going to move on to share some of the tools that God wants us to use as a church family. So can we do that together? Is that okay? So next week, we'll have a waste bin up here. And I want you, throughout the course of this week, please do prepare to write some things down. Reflect. Maybe you want to do it personally or as a family or as a group. You may want to do it, some of you in house groups, you may want to do this. And just reflect as a church family. What are some of the tools that you think, these tools, we've been seeing them around for a while, they're just not fit for purpose. Or maybe there are tools that they worked years ago, but now they're just no longer fit for purpose. I want us to be real honest and assess some of these tools, and then we're going to pray together as a church family. There's a great old hymn of the church that really fits in with this, and it says, "Draw me nearer, 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 blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died." We want to grow spiritually, and the way we're going to do that is if we're closer to Jesus Christ. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Yes. Draw me nearer, Nearer, blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding side. Draw me nearer. Draw me near. Yes, we want to grow. We want to grow this year. We want to grow. Yes. To the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer. Draw me nearer. Nearer, blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding side. Amen. Brian, please do come.